Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another issue of Comic Chronicle. I have a very special guest here today on the phone. Go ahead and introduce yourself, man.
Hey, guys. I'm Koval, and I play Private Stiles in the campaign of the new release of Call of Duty World War II.
Yes, and might I add, I finished the game probably around 2-3 days ago. I finished a story campaign, and your characters was fascinating, and the storyline itself, too, amazing and spectacular.
Oh, dude, seriously, I mean, all of us would sit around in the green room and talk about the writing. Like, yeah. The writing was great. So good, so honest.
Yes.
And thank you, by the way. I kind of love Styles. I love that character.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of like the cool kid. Like, you know, everyone can relate to be like, yeah, dude, we're that person. Or it's like, you know a person that is Styles. Like, it's not one of those out there people like, oh, no one's ever like that. And you're like, no, we relate to Styles.
Well, my take with him, like going into it, is I kind of wanted him to be the guy who really had an appreciation for, like, gallows humor.
Yes.
Like you know, everyone's, you know, more, you know, varying degrees of, like, hoorah. Mm-hmm. And Styles is the guy going, you realize we're all going to die, right?
Yeah. He's the realist.
Exactly. Yeah, he's like, we're still going to go do it? Okay. All right, cool. Yep. All right, going to die.
Oh, dear God. It's one of those, like, it is, every time it came up, I knew I was going to laugh, because I'm like, yep.
Well, excellent, man. Thank you. That's what I was going for.
Yes, mission accomplished, man. Mission accomplished. I got a few things here to ask you today. I looked at background at your past history a little bit. You've been involved in some pretty big projects, might I add.
I've gotten to step in on a couple things here and there. I've been very fortunate so far.
Yeah, this is. I mean, there's been a few great things, and this is being spectacular and phenomenal. But, you know, kind of wondering, what was that big thing, that life-changing thing that was like, you know what, I want to go into this business and I want to be a part of it?
Acting? Oh, man.
Yeah. Is it dialing it back a few years, or?
Oh, yeah, that's going back. So I went to the University of Oregon, mm-hmm. and initially I was there for their equivalent of pre-med and psychology. And, I mean, long story short, I had a girlfriend at the time. We had been dating since high school. Mm-hmm. And we met. I was actually a musician. I played in band all through school. I wasn't a theater kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was the band kid. And she sang in a jazz band that I played in. Mm-hmm. And we started dating, and she was a year behind me. And one point, like, cracked a joke, like, oh, Kevin, you should be an actor. And for whatever reason, I went, like, no. Like, I do not belong on a stage. I belong in the pit. I'm a musician. And she thought that was hilarious. She thought that was a riot. And so she kept poking at me with it. And finally, I went to go see her in a show one time. And then we went out to dinner with some of her castmates. Hmm. And she brought it up there. And they noticed immediately how I reacted. And they thought it was hilarious. And they kept going and going with it. And I finally went, you know what, guys? If you shut up about it, like, right now, I have 4 units next term. I don't know what I'm doing with them. I'll think about taking an acting class.
Wow.
And we were at a Chinese restaurant, and my fortune cookie said, try something new. Something along those lines.
Yeah, some of that kind of cheesy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, fine. I'll take the damn acting class, and just completely fell in love with it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's one of those, once you start, like, and I currently go to voice acting school up here at the Phoenix Film Institute. It's once you start, man, it's just crazy. I mean, it helps that your teacher did play Velma in a Scooby-Doo cartoon for many years. It does help that, but so you hear some good shit. You hear the inside a little bit. It's nothing like BS, but so once you start, it just goes from there, and you're like, I want to be a part of it and that. So I can totally agree with that.
Well, it's addicting in a way.
Yeah. It's the good addiction. It's not that one that you're going to go to rehab. Well, no, scratch that, actually.
It'll just destroy your life in a different way.
Yes. Your liver could be fine, and you're not... there's many jokes recently we can make. We're not going down that road, though.
Nope. Keeping it clean.
Yes. Oh, dear God.
I was thinking about, like, hey, they'll both destroy your bank account.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That could happen.
Yep.
Oh, dear God. Well, Matt, how did you land this phenomenal role of Styles? Like, was it one of those you just got the call and you went in, or did you, like, make some deal with somebody? Because, trust me, I heard it all, so I just, you never always want to know.
I mean, there were blood sacrifices involved.
Ah, Satan, yes, that makes total sense.
No, yeah, I mean, it was literally, I mean, it was a bit of luck and a little bit of me getting the call. Mm-hmm. Because, like, basically, you know, as you probably know, this normally, video games are normally cast through voiceover agents. Yeah. Like, even the motion capture, it'll go through somebody's VO agent. Mm-hmm. And I actually, I don't have a VO agent.
No.
And so, Ivy Eisenberg, who was doing the casting, you know, from what I understand, they basically kind of went through their roster, mm-hmm. their, you know, of people they thought were right for it. And actually, I mean, I kind of asked her the same question at one point. She was like, the big problem that we had was that people kind of kept coming in and reading a soldier.
Oh.
Like, everyone's okay. being a soldier. And, like, nobody was finding the guy in it mm-hmm. for you know, whatever, which kind of shocks me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a boon for me, right?
Yeah.
and so, yeah, and, I mean, like, you know, like I said, I read the audition material. It was just kind of going, this is a guy who, like, one of the phrases in the back of my mind for him was, like, he's a guy who, if, like, two more dudes from his hometown hadn't signed up, he might not have gone.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's really, yeah. Yeah, that does, you know, that makes sense. Wow.
So he's, like, he is kind of called by the greatness of the moment, but at the same time, he isn't, you know, he's not totally starry-eyed.
Yeah. He's truly a man behind the. He doesn't take the uniform. He loves the uniform, but he doesn't take it to, like, it's not. It doesn't make up him. He still has him in there too, a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, and the writers did a great job of introducing that early with, like, you know, he's the only one in that, like, intro scene where they talk about, you know, his ambitions outside of the army.
Yeah. Yeah, he wants more in life. You know, he wants that second life, as they call it.
Yeah. I mean, they immediately are like, you know, this is Styles. He wants to be a photographer for Life magazine. You know, they talk about where Aiello and Zussman come from, but they talk about where Styles wants to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's truly fascinating. You don't get that too much, and especially in, like, I love the Call of Duty games in general, but, you know, you don't get too much of that. Like, you know, this is where we want to go after all this happens. They usually just get in-the-moment stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, and I think that's something Sledgehammer was paying particular attention to. Well, I know they were paying particular attention to. They were just like, we want this to be a proper story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think they did a great job.
Oh, yeah. Oh hell yeah. Yeah, it was one of those. You couldn't, like, I'd go to work. I'd play a lot. I'd go to work, and I'd just have it on my mind the entire time, which if anybody in my job's listening, they're probably like, we fucking knew it. But other than that... Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, and the thing, too, was it was a joy for us to play, too, because there were some things, like, you know, that changed, and I don't want to spoil the ending, but there were some things with the ending that actually we didn't know about.
You can spoil it, man. You can spoil it down here. If anybody's listening to this, spoiler alert. Yeah, I'd rather spoil it so we can don't have any holdbacks, you know?
Okay, so first of all, Red's brother, Daniels' brother, who was played by Chris Browning, that was initially his dad.
Oh, shit.
And as far as we knew, he didn't die. Mm-hmm. So that whole awesome twist at the end where he is kind of mentally writing these letters to his dead brother, you know, and leaves the Bronze Star in his gravestone and everything, I watched that just like you guys did. I was like, what?
Really?
that hits hard.
Wow, yeah, it did. I mean, you kind of wanted to shed some tears. There are the entire ending scenes with those, and no one expected it, but that's surprising. You had no idea at all about it. They didn't let you know? None of the other cast?
I personally didn't. Well, there's no reason for me to know.
That's true.
I mean, here's one of the things when you work on a Call of Duty game, secrecy's paramount.
Okay.
Secrecy is utterly, utterly paramount. Like, you know, I mean, even the entire time you're working on it, you're working under a code name. The project has a code name, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I don't know how many non-disclosure agreements I signed. Like, you know, because, first of all, you know, they want the endings and things like that to be a surprise, to have that impact. And we all know that there are the fun trolls out there who, like, you know, hacking somebody and
those assholes, we call them. Yeah,
I mean, think of, like, Mass Effect, right? Like, Mass Effect 3, like, you know, from what I understand, like, part of the problem with the endings in that third game was that, you know, a lot of it got leaked.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, in, like, 2 weeks trying to rewrite it and change it.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's true. That is entirely true. Damn. Well, speaking of working with these fantastic people, did you meet the castmates, or was it, did you record it? Were you one of those, it was recorded in a studio all by yourself and was one of those? Or did you guys kind of have an everyone in a studio and everyone record and such?
Oh, we worked together a lot.
Oh,
cause
cool.
Because it wasn't just voiceover. It was, you know, I mean, we actually acted out, did motion capture for all those, you know, all the cinematic scenes.
I was curious about that. Yeah, that makes sense. I don't know. Sometimes they scan the face and do it, but and sometimes they do mocap. I was curious if you guys did do the mocap suits this time.
Yeah, this was especially all the cinematics, all the stuff that's like clearly, you know, that step up in graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was all us.
Wow.
And then I mean, a lot of the stuff in the scenes, to, or you know, in the levels, you know, stuff that would be, you know, somewhat cutscene-ish or whatnot. We did a lot of those too.
Wow. How was that? Was it like was it interesting trying to do war in a mocap suit? Because I've seen those things. They're like a one piece suit and it's got like all those circles and dots and everything
mm-hmm.
on it.
Well, I mean, it presents some challenges.
Yeah.
But just because of the tech, because one, you're trying not to break anything.
Yeah.
Because you got like $70,000 worth of gear on you.
Ooh, that's cringe worthy to hear. Ooh.
Right? Well, because one of the things, you know, because all the, you know, you might have noticed the characters all look like us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A hardcore. They do. It's kind of. It's crazy that they do too.
It's so. Yeah, I know. It's crazy how accurate it is now too. But so a part of how they do that is you're wearing a helmet that has like a boom. You know, almost like a face mask from an American football helmet.
Oh wow.
That has a couple of, you know, little HD cameras on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're literally recording what we do.
Wow.
So in terms of like, you know, so there's certain things you can't do, like you can't touch your face because it blocks the cameras.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And then you've got the packs for it on your back, so you have to be careful about falling. But ooh. Beyond that, like in terms of the actual like acting of it,
mm-hmm.
frankly, it's kind of. I mean, I come from a physical theater background, and it's a lot like doing theater in the round.
Huh. Interesting. I mean, it does make sense, too, about that it does. It's just, you got to be, it's a little bit more tedious a little bit, because like you said, you don't want to break anything, because those, you know, you break something, they're like, you don't get paid now, like, oh, shit.
Right. Oh, like, there goes my check and then some.
Yeah.
No, it's, it's funny, though, it's actually less tedious than doing
really?
Film.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because normally when you're doing film, right,
mm-hmm.
Scenes and shots are really broken up.
Yeah.
And depending on your director of photography, they're going to be doing a ton of what they call coverage,
yeah.
which is basically shooting it from like every angle possible and various levels of zoom and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the thing is in motion capture, especially, you know, stuff for video games like this,
mm-hmm.
Camera angle doesn't matter. Ooh. It doesn't matter at all.
Wow. Okay.
Because they're capturing literally a complete 3D, you know, like, for example, space. Yeah. Like, they don't call it a stage. They call it a volume.
Yes.
And it's mm-hmm. because it's in three dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So, literally, they can put the camera wherever they want at any time.
That's it's just crazy to think about it doing that, you know, after all this, like, right. you know, you do all the study and that, and then mocap comes into the picture and all that stuff, and it, like, completely throws it all out the window, like, you just, all this new stuff.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and so it means that, you know, instead of, like, film where you have to do the same scene over and over and over and over
yeah.
and over to keep getting all these different angles, depending mm-hmm. on how many cameras you have on set, in motion capture, you know, and you're doing little bits of it to keep resetting the cameras, in motion capture, you do the scene from start to finish, like in theater.
Oh, wow.
And if the directors like what you've captured, that's it. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes over to the animators, and I don't know what their equivalent of a cinematographer is.
Yeah.
But, you know, from there, they decide how the scene's going to look cinematically.
Cool. That just sounds
it's nuts.
Yeah, it does sound crazy, but it does sound like a hell of a lot of fun, too. Like, it really
oh,
does.
It's so fun.
Oh.
It's like being a kid in a sandbox.
Oh, that's even more beautiful way to put it. That's, wow.
Because you're just totally using your imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You got in with that. You definitely. And it's like, you got, all right, you're in the trenches right now, or you're in the forest. You're on the ship, you know, you're having a tank come at you. And that's major imagination in there. Because if anybody who's listening knows, you know, it's like a big warehouse sort of thing. You got all the stuff everywhere. And, well, yeah, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, exactly. Like, you nailed it, where you're just like, you're here, you're in the trenches. You know, there's the Germans, there's the fort, they're about mm-hmm. that high up. You know, it's like being a kid on the playground where you're like, okay, you know, the bad guys have the slides, we're attacking from the swings. Yeah. You know, here we go.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, all right, now pretend. I'm like, oh, shit.
Exactly, yeah, and pretend, go.
Wow.
You know, and we have the benefit of a script, so it's even a little easier because, you know, kids are improvising.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, I usually ask this question to people who come on the show, like if you took anything from set, or if like you, but without any, getting people in trouble, or if you got a special gift. Were you given anything by Sledgehammer or anything like that, or did you kind of take something from set? Just curious, because it's always fascinating to hear what people, what gifts people get.
Well, yeah, actually, it's not directly from Sledge. We also, a bunch of us in the cast, and then Activision collaborate with a charity called the Call of Duty Endowment.
Oh, okay.
And what they do, to give them a quick plug, what they do is they help veterans find good jobs, good post-military careers.
I'll be damned. Wow.
And they managed to do it about the quarter cost of the VA. So, they're a really worthy organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we shot some PSA stuff for them and actually went up and participated in a live stream that they did.
Wow. Cool.
And as thanks, they gave us a bunch of cool little bits of swag, but my favorite one is this pen that's made of two 50 caliber, casings.
Holy shit.
And it's made by this family that you know, all the proceeds go to charity. It was from they're a Gold Star family. Their son died in Iraq.
Wow.
And evidently, like, he was kind of known for that around base. Like, he loved, you know, just like making shit out of the brass.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, to carry on his legacy and whatnot, they sell different things made out of brass. So yeah, so I've got this great, like, heavy duty ballpoint pen that's made out of two 50 caliber brass casings.
That's cool. Now that'd be something I wouldn't even use it. I'd just put it up on a shelf or on a desk, like, here, don't touch.
I use it to like sign contracts and sign checks, and that's it.
Oh.
It's like my fancy man pen.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I'm signing life on this thing here, and then that can also be said for the checks as well, with money and stuff. That could easily be said for both.
Exactly. It sits in my desk.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Now, were you a fan of Call of Duty beforehand, or a fan of video games or anything like that before you got this role? Kind of curious, because some people are, and...
Oh, dude, video games in general, I've been a hardcore gamer since I was a kid.
Oh, that's beautiful to hear.
I played all the old Medal of Honor games, but then I was a huge JRPG guy. Like, I still think Chrono Trigger is probably, or actually Xenogears is probably the best game ever made.
Ooh.
Despite the second disc.
Yeah.
And I'm currently utterly addicted to Overwatch.
Oh my god, you're on the trend with us, man. Welcome. Like, oh, that's fantastic. you're on it, you're on the boat. We're like, this is a big boat, but yeah, thanks for being on it with us.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I put too much time into Overwatch.
Yes.
And then Call of Duty, actually, I've never been huge into multiplayer, but I almost always get them and play the campaigns, ironically.
Exactly. I'm on the same boat.
I like stories.
Yeah, that's like, and people always give me shit about it. They're always like, why do you like the campaign? I'm like, this campaign's amazing. You know, like, multiplayer, it's like, multiplayer, I go on, a 12-year-old may kick my ass, and I'll be pissed off the entire day or something. And then, you know,
exactly.
Get a campaign.
Well, the other thing for me, too, with, like, multiplayer in Call of Duty, I love war in this new version.
Yes.
But it's because it's objective-based,
yeah.
You know? Like, I just don't enjoy, like, TDM where people, you know, the spawn points can be, like, basically anywhere and you can spawn and get shot in the back of the head. I'm like, where's the battle line, dude? I don't enjoy this.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, I love it, man. I love the war in here, too. It's been amazing. That's fantastic to hear, though. I mean, and so that's got to probably play a little bit into it, too, when you're playing in the role of, like, it's just a video game, man. This is a dream come true. Yeah, sort of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's that. And also, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, in terms of, like, I've been on some pretty big projects, but this is my most, like, the most involved I've been on some big projects, mm-hmm. or of those big projects, rather. And, I mean, definitely part of the reason I booked it is because I understood what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I play games, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what this scene is.
Mm-hmm. So you know, yeah, you know basically what you're getting, the project is you're going into, which you hear when people go on video games a lot of times. They have no idea what it's supposed to be like, and they're like, we got no idea, we never, like, ever played anything? No, this is completely new, but the people who do know it go in there with a certain attitude and a certain motivation. It's completely different from the rest. At least from what I heard. I have never been on there, but that's what I heard from down the grapevine.
No, that's, I mean, there's that, and there's also, too, it's just, I mean, even the audition itself, it's mm-hmm. a weird audition. It's not something most, like, you know, mainstream actors or even, like, VO actors or, you know, would typically do. You kind of have to have an understanding of the medium, because I mean I've coached friends of mine since I've booked this on different motion capture auditions, because we're not, you know, often when you're auditioning for like television or film, you have this really tight frame. And you're kind of figuring out which action lines you should do or shouldn't do, because you don't want to be going in and out of camera, or in and out of the shot, because that looks super amateur and you won't book the role.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you, see, but, that's pretty, you see that a lot, yeah.
Right, exactly. And it just doesn't look good. Yeah. But like with motion capture, you know, the action is what you need.
Yes.
And so people are, you know, half the time they're just like, they don't feel they have the freedom to actually just, you know, drop to the fucking ground and yep. start, you know, sniper crawling and pop up and you know,
exactly.
you know, shoot someone's head off and then, you know, roll and grenade and blah, blah, blah. You know, like I said, like play like a kid in a sandbox, you know? Yeah.
You have to. You absolutely have to. And it is, and it can be tough for people to get into that too. It really can be. Like you said, mm-hmm. it's, you see it sometimes, and sometimes it goes good, sometimes it goes bad, but I mean, who knows?
Well, and different people are used to different levels of, like, or different amounts of, like, physical performance. Like, yes. some people just don't necessarily have the background, and they're, like, you know, they are not themselves comfortable diving to the ground, doing the sniper crawl, popping up, taking a shot. You know, yeah. they don't, you know, that's not necessarily in their body, yeah. at least yet, you know?
Yeah, it takes time. It takes time to kind of get used to it, go do a bunch of different stuff. I mean, like, I can relate, because a little bit of, like, I'm trying to get used to right now currently is I can do characters and do all this different stuff, but when it comes to trying to read a script and trying to be something for, like, say, a commercial, like, doing the commercial work of it, and go now to this website now and $9.95, that sort of thing, it's tough to get into. Like, it's tough for me to do, but I can give you a character that can make you cry. But that's
exactly.
It's tough. So everyone has that thing where it's a mountain you have to tackle, especially in acting.
Well, yeah, and it's different muscles.
Yes.
It's all exercising, like, different creative muscles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, I mean, a good example of that is we had a dude, you know, and I'm kind of throwing him under the bus here a little bit, so I'm not going to say who it was.
It's fine. I mean, it's fine. The fact is, they may be listening, they may not be, so who knows?
I know, but still.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, one of the guys on the, on the game, in the cast, who does just this phenomenal performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point has to shoot somebody, and so he's you know, doing all his text, da 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 da. It's really great, and then all of a sudden he raises the gun and just go, you know, like blam, right? And like recoils the thing back over his head, and we're all looking at each other like, what the fuck? And he confesses, you know, he can do all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's never held a gun in his life.
Wow. That's
right. So,
wow.
So now, right. So that's literally something in his physical vocabulary that is just absent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like some of those other actions I was talking about earlier, you know, the sniper crawl, pop up to a knee, take a shot.
Yeah.
If you haven't played around in that way, that might be something that you don't necessarily do immediately with the kind of comfort that reads as, you know, something that somebody's done 100 times.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That is,
you know,
very
like a
true.
Professional. Yeah.
Yeah, it power to the
professional
person.
Professional soldier, though. I mean, not insulting the actor, but like a professional soldier.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah, 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 yeah. No, like he, you know, this is like we just said, you know, and hopefully the actor listening, if he listens or she, if he listens, and all of a sudden hears this, hopefully you don't get that call saying "F you, man." Like, I hope not. Right.
Well, no, I mean, he we all kind of laughed about it too.
Okay. Okay.
Went, no, it's just this little, and he's like, "Oh, okay," and then he did it, and it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was definitely one of those moments on set where everybody kind of, you know, shares a good laugh.
Yeah. That's true. And hey, you know, power to him, because that means, like, where'd you learn this stuff at? Oh, I learned it from Call of Duty. And everyone's going to be like, what the hell? And I'm like, no, wait.
Well, you did what?
Yeah. It adds so much more value to it. So, I, you know, here's a question that I know might be kind of out there, but would there perhaps be a chance? Because I know I heard on the grapevine that there may be unlockable people in the zombies mode of this. Maybe Styles pops up or does something in there, perhaps? I know it's probably a long shot, but hey.
I don't know.
Damn.
There's a maybe.
Okay.
It's there were some things that were recorded.
Okay.
I don't know if they got used.
Okay. That's yeah, my curiosity is all time high. All right.
Yeah. And I honestly don't know.
Okay, that'd be
nothing else though. I'd love to go in and, you know, record something.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. It's not blowing steam or anything like that. Honest truth though, if you get to play as a character, I'd want to play as Styles, because he'd be. It seems like they're in a zombies mode. He'd be the funniest damn one in there.
Actually, you know what? Thank you, and I'm not going to argue. Actually, I think he would be really funny in there.
See. We need, if anybody's listening to this, and anybody has any pull, we need Styles and Zombies, because it would be the best comedic, it would take you out of it maybe at some points, but still be like laughing like, there's just a horde of zombies, yep, we're dead.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would depend, yeah, I mean, totally, it would depend on the writing, but, you know, yeah. I mean, I think they handled the writing pretty well. Yeah, I think if he's in this place that, you know, I think where people like Styles, you know, in the campaign is like you were saying, they could relate to him. It's like, mm-hmm. No, wait, but we're getting shot at a lot.
Yeah. It's like,
and if he's reacting to the zombies like most of us would, which is like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's yeah, because all the other ones are like, yeah, kill him, we've seen this. You're like, and you're like, no. What the hell?
No. Can we talk about the fact that dude had both of his eyeballs dangling out of his sockets and, like, wanted to eat us? Something's not right.
This one's missing arms, and he's missing a leg. He's wobbling. Can we just
also, why are we staying in this house?
Yeah.
Why don't we try to leave?
Yeah, can we just go? Boarding up the windows is stupid. Let's just go through
like,
the window.
What are we doing here?
And that giant monster above, like, I can just picture it now, the giant monster made out of human body parts, too, in the zombies mode.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, he'd just be like, well, this is what drugs feel like.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no one's going to believe my epitaph.
No. Oh, dear God.
I was killed by a giant people monster.
And you just wish there'd be a Saw joke in there somewhere. Or a human centipede joke in there somewhere. You really do.
Oh, God. Oh, so dark.
Yeah, you know, that's a dark mode in there, this game. I'm not going to lie.
So, no, it is. It is.
I went in there. Have you played it yet at all? Or you just kind of glimpsed at it?
I've dabbled a little bit.
Dabbled? Yeah, you dabble in that. And you just look and you're like, oh, dear God. It's been upgraded from me from years of playing.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, dear.
Well, because too, I was playing a couple of Outlast for a little bit, and then realized, wait, why the fuck am I sitting around trying to scare the shit out of myself while I'm playing a video game?
Like, it's true, you have that. Like, what the hell? Like, I did. I would felt the same thing. Alien Isolation. I played that like in the dark, no lights and anything on too. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Like. Yeah, I do this to enjoy myself. This is not enjoyable.
Yeah, no, like, I'm scared. I'm sweating in a video game. This is new.
I remember when I was a kid, I played Jurassic Park on Super Nintendo.
Oh, my God, that's a throwback.
I would play that one in the dark, and that one actually would freak you. The raptors would come out of nowhere.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I never played it, but I heard about that. Yeah, you just, like, wonder, like, you just jump, like, oh, shit.
It was a super frustrating game.
Oh, that's what I heard. It's the rage machine on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. I got another question, like one of the final questions for you, man. So we know that there's merchandise in and everything for these games. Can we see Styles on any merchandise? Your character, like, I know there's got to be something coming out for him.
Not that I've heard of.
Shit.
No, start a campaign. Yeah. lobby Sledge for that. Lobby Activision for that.
Yeah. Everyone, use Twitter to the advantage. Come on.
Dude, we would actually joke, you know, on set and in the green room about, dude, like, our action figures.
Oh, like, who's getting, like, I'd probably, like, wondering, who's getting one, who's not?
Well, and, like, who's going to have what prop? Like, at one point, we have, like, a text chain where we send, like, you know, jokes and whatnot. Yeah. And actually, you know, one of the other things we were doing, like, before the game came out, but when it was, like, you know, getting closer to being announced, is, you know, I remember there was just all this speculation going on about, you know, what it was going to be. You know, we know what's going back in the past. And a lot of people were, like, dead convinced it was Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
You know, and some stuff like that. And so that was one thing that was fun as a cast to share around, were the different articles, like, everybody speculating.
Yeah, I can imagine it now. Can you believe this idiot? Who would think this? Oh, no, this is a good one. It's fake. It's not true. But, hey, it's just a good idea.
No, it was less of, like, oh, can you believe this idiot? And more of just, like, oh, man, that guy put a lot of thought into that. Like, I can see all the points. And he's totally wrong.
Totally, you're like, God, who's gonna tell him? Like, or are we just gonna wait till this happens? We'll just wait till it comes out, so he can feel that like his time was sort of well put. But
yeah, like all the YouTube videos out that were just like 9 minutes long, just laying out evidence. It was,
oh,
like,
God,
wow, dude, you worked on this.
Yeah, it's like, do you have a job too? What's going on?
No, he's a YouTuber, probably not.
No, that's true. You do make a lot of money from that. So curious, man, where do you go from here? Like, I mean, if you can say anything at all, what upcoming projects do you have as we come near the end of this?
At the moment, honestly, just auditioning.
Just auditioning?
Auditioning. Yep, auditioning at the moment.
Cool. Okay.
I mean, one of the things, I don't know how much folks out in the community, in the gamer community, really knew, but SAG was actually on strike from games for about a year.
Really? I actually had not heard of that. Wow.
Yeah. We were on strike, and it's just that Call of Duty, we got lucky. We were grandfathered in, and so we were able to continue working.
Wow.
But so because of the strike, you know, my agents really couldn't pitch me to any games. And then I wasn't released from my non-disclosure agreement until like mid-October, so I couldn't even really tell people what I was working on.
Oh, that's gotta be rough. Oh.
But now it's good, because I've got more auditions coming in, and so yeah, now for me, I mean, I'm auditioning for plenty of things, but ultimately I'd like to do another game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a really great experience.
Maybe if there's a sequel to this, we'll see you back. Who knows? I mean,
right?
There's possibility.
World War II, too. Yeah. Style is revenge.
So, yeah, oh, yeah, this is the one that's, he's back. Literally, you could see, you know what, though? I wouldn't count it out, because they make sequels all the time to these, like, the bigger games, but, you know, it might be years in the, like, future or something like that, like, not, like, 2034, but, like, years down the road from what happened, and we could see older you, who knows? Could be possible.
Right? Like, Style stayed on and went and fought in the Korean War or something.
That would be interesting to hear. Like, God damn it.
Well, no, I think probably the likeliest thing, like, if I were to do anything, you know, in the Call of Duty world again, would be just on another Sledge production, because Sledgehammer they do reuse some people. They'll be like, no, we like you. We're gonna you're playing another character.
Yeah,
now.
That's pretty cool.
You know, we all had a lot of fun, so I wouldn't be shocked if at some point in the future they were just like, hey, why don't you come read for this guy in this other Call of Duty thing?
That would be
just
cool.
Tweak the character a bit,
yeah. Oh yeah, that'd be fascinating to hear. Like, you know, like, fast forward like 3 years down the road, and it's like, well, what do you do? I've been Call of Duty for the past 3 years. I've been in wars.
Dude, I wouldn't argue.
No,
I wouldn't argue. It's a really fun gig. Yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, and you know what? It showed. It showed in the work. Let me tell you, it really did. In
thanks,
a way,
man.
It showed. I mean, because then again, I mean, it is animated in a sense, but it does. And we all know what we're talking about.
Oh yeah. It's through like three panes of glass, but we, yeah.
Yeah.
You saw the performance.
Exactly. It's like a zoo. You see what's behind like the many layers.
Exactly. Oh. Just keep peeling it back.
Well, where can people find you at, man, as we come to a close today? We're like Twitter, Instagram.
Let's see. Yeah. So on Instagram, it's just my name, Kevin.Coubal. Coubal.
Fancy.
And then on Twitter, it's a stage shout. And I actually also do some intermittent Twitch streaming under the handle of Roosterbeard, _ in between Rooster and Beard.
That's cool. I actually dig that name. That's really neat. Oh.
Man, PSN gave it to me randomly, and I was like, yup, I love this.
PSN, like PlayStation Network, gave it to you?
Yeah. It was when I got, like, I think it was my PS3. It was like, you know, when I got PSN, it was like, okay, you have to log in. What's your name? And I was like, I don't know, randomly generate something. And that's what came up. And I was like,
oh, I'm thinking they privately gave it to you on a card or in an email. Use this account. I'm like, holy shit.
On a platter. Here's your screen name, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just in a fancy envelope handed by Butler. It's, you've worked in games. Welcome to our fancy club.
Yeah. It predates me working on anything in games. That was just my, just my handle.
Oh, okay. Well, here's a question. Before we go, what system do you work on? So people would be like, because you work in a video game industry, people always want to know, is it PlayStation or Xbox? Or are you completely PC?
PlayStation and PC.
Ah, okay. Good man. Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, I like an Xbox. I just want access to indie titles.
That, yeah, as an Xbox player, I play both, but let me tell you, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, man, for coming on to the show today. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Dude, same over here. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And if whatever comes down the road, I mean, we do have, on the Fanacorp Network, we do have a show called Film World. So if it's not video games or comic or something like that, you know, I'd be happy to have you on there, whatever projects you have coming down the road, man. You're invited.
Oh, thank you so much, man. Yeah, if something fun comes up, I'll definitely let you know.
Sweet. Yeah, well, in a way that we won't get in trouble for publicizing on it, though, too. You know, all those NDAs.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't violate my NDAs. I like keeping my jobs.
Yes. It's very nice to be able to pay the bills, ladies and gentlemen. It really is.
Well, not only that, don't get sued, like, straight into the center of the earth.
Oh, God, worse than an Apple lawsuit at that point. Oh, Jesus.
I have a feeling that, like, Activision or, I mean, like, one of the biggest litigation suits in U.S. history was Activision versus EA.
That's true. Wow, that is very true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, those guys could destroy you if they decided to, so, yeah. Like, hey, be good.
Exactly. Apple is the evil corporate. I like Apple, but Apple can be the evil corporation you hear about in a comic, video game, or a television show all the time. Like, evil corporation doing fancy things, but.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, you know. The cloud is like the first step to Skynet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Terminator. Here we. Oh damn. And they said it. No. And now this episode's never gonna get through internet, and they're gonna block this thing full hardy on there before I can even try to publicize it tomorrow.
Right. They're just gonna be able to pump a T-1000 in his liquid form, like straight through your webcam.
That's very scary to think about.
Right?
That is, because I have a webcam in my computer right now, and I'm just picturing. That was going to be nightmares and everything. You're probably going to get them text me. Hey, yeah, this was a bad thing to talk about. I'm up at 1 a.m. drinking something. Oh, Jesus. Thanks, man, for coming on. You're welcome back anytime. If you want to just talk about anything at all, we'd love to have you.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Talk to you later, Kevin.
Have a good one.
You too.
Wait.
That was Kevin Coubal, ladies and gentlemen. You heard our epic, fantastic conversation today as we talked about Call of Duty World War II. So if you have not, and if we already talked about some spoilers, but if you have not went and picked it up, go pick up Call of Duty World War II on whatever system you play on, and make sure you give Kevin a shout-out, and you give everyone a shout-out, and tell them how much good work they did, because phenomenal game, ladies and gentlemen. Well worth the price of admission. Well worth it. You can find me at DakotaMorgan3 on Twitter, and you can also find at the Real Fan Corp. Messed that up. At Real Fan Corp on Twitter and Instagram, ladies and gentlemen. And make sure you like Fan Corp Network on Facebook in order to keep in touch with Comic Chronicle, all the upcoming shows, and also Film World, and our also our upcoming audio movie coming to the FanCorp Network exclusively, Phoenix Kaiju. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me today. And subscribe on iTunes. Make sure you give us a review on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, or a review on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in. And stay classy.